Welcome to the first podcast of Preventing Grace in April. It's actually our third podcast.
Fourth podcast.
Really?
No, yeah. It's our fourth.
Well, we are bent on being argumentative today because we've spent the last several days shouting at each other about the gaffe about abortion, which some feel might wreck his chances of actually ascending to the White House. we sort of disagree, not fundamentally, we thought maybe it would be fun to argue online together, because that's what the internet is for.
Should we tell, in case you don't know what the gaffe was,
right.
We're not really hoping to get political, but it does bring up the question of what the pro-life stance really involves. Trump, when asked, suggested that there should be penalties if abortion were made illegal, which I think it should be, and so does Anne.
Well, but nobody there, thinks should there it's be, going to
should
happen.
There be, but this is kind of a hypothetical question. If so, should there be penalties for women who get abortions on the grounds that it's murder, that the baby is being killed? Now, Trump said yes, he walked that back, but that did evoke provoke a lot of debate online between Christians who share the same principle that a baby in a womb is a baby from conception all the way through birth. It's a living human being. And if that's true, and if abortion is the killing of a human being, what then should we say about the mother who involves herself in that killing? So what was your reaction? You wrote an article about this actually this week. So what was your point that you're making?
Well, just the way you framed that up lets us all know where we should fall down on the issue.
No, just whatever.
Because, I was just sort of amazed how quickly, you know, first of all, it's very, very unlikely that abortion is going to become illegal.
Sure, it's hypothetical,
so,
right?
Yep. The fact that we're talking about hypotheticals, I think, is really important to keep in view.
But it's a useful hypothetical because the hypothetical question helps us come to terms with what we're really saying and what we're really arguing.
So. Right, and so I didn't know in the pro-life movement that we apparently were saying that the women who get abortions should be rounded up and put in jail. I mean, I know, so
that's not
Trump said there should be a penalty. Does he mean like an extra tax? Does he mean jail time? Does he mean a fine? Does he mean public shaming? He didn't say, of course, so he was able to walk it back. But I didn't know, and I think a lot of people like me had a very visceral response that all this time we had been talking about rescuing the child, trying to change the mind of the mother so that she would let the child live, to prosecute abortion doctors or at least put limits on them, which is what a lot of people have focused their energies on. I haven't heard a word over the last 30 years about the mother being prosecuted. So I was really surprised how quickly a lot of people thought, oh, well, that's great. Let's do that. Let's start there if we could, which we can't. I think that's a bad place to start.
I don't think that's what people were saying. I don't think they were saying, setting aside Trump, but that's beside the point. I don't think that the Christians who responded the way they did were saying, oh, let's go after the women. I think the principle...
It may have sounded that way, but I don't think
that's what people were doing. I think the problem was that the principle of life was at stake, and that's what's giving this debate fuel, because you remember... Well, maybe you remember. Maybe you don't. I'm not sure if you were in the country even when this happened, but I believe it was in the 90s. A woman named Andrea Yates.
No, I do remember her because I was compared to her. Remember?
You were compared.
Somebody said, "Oh, you with all your children are going to be just like her. You're going to be so out of control and so mentally ill that you're going to kill your own children."
Right, right.
I don't know if you remember that.
No, I do, and I remember that. Yes, I remember that kind of progressive woman who's angry with you for having children. Right. But Andrea Yates killed her children, and everybody was upset because many were arguing that she shouldn't face any penalties at all because they were her children and there was kind of her right to do what she wanted to do with them. Many on the left, anyway, very, very far left, were arguing that. And Christians were appalled by that by that argument. But let me just ask, though, I mean, is there a difference between Andrea Yates drowning her babies and a woman going into an abortion clinic and having them killed?
I'm not, that's not the question that's particularly interesting to me.
But that is the question.
Well, but that's the question, but I think that we can safely say that Christians would say that both of those things are murder.
That's important to say.
But I think I used the word lie online when I said that women were victims of a lie. I don't, obviously the mother is not a victim in the sense that the child is a victim, but women in this country are victims of incredibly powerful, evil lie that, their lives are not going to be affected or bound up with the life of the child that they kill. So when the left says, "Oh well, Andrea should be able to kill her children, and so should the woman being able to go into an abortion clinic and kill her unborn child," both of those, but the people who think that's okay are propagating a lie, a very powerful lie that millions and millions of women have bought into, and I would say in some sense are victimized by.
Can you explain what you mean? That word victim has taken on a lot of baggage over the last, 15, 20 years, and everyone wants to be a victim of something. And so when you use that word victim, people hear...
You know, a lot of people are mad at me.
Right. So how is the person who murders her child a victim?
Well, I would say that she's very often, not all the time, I saw somebody yelling about this on YouTube, very often she has incomplete information about what her future looks like. She's very, very incomplete. She's been given the idea that a child is a big problem and is going to ruin everything, and that it's really akin to a sickness. If she can rid herself of this hideous thing, then she'll be okay again. And the culture overall feels this way. I mean, children are the worst thing for, unless you choose them very carefully and you have a lot of money, then it's okay. But if you have a child, especially unexpectedly, you should be able to do whatever you want with your body and there should be no consequences. That's a huge, huge, huge lie. And it's akin to being dead in sin. That lie is so big that the person who believes it is really, just like any other sinner, dead to reason. And sure, that person makes a choice and goes into a clinic, and she is going to be held responsible for her choice by God.
So let's just kind of make an analogy here. What if is the prison camp guard who's been persuaded that his prisoners are subhuman and a burden to society and need to be done away with, and who just believes that lie, and then executes one of them, is he absolved of his crime?
That's the thing. I don't think there's...
Is he a victim?
Well, no, but he's a victim of a terrible lie, and he's going to be in hell forever when, you know, he should hear the gospel.
Right.
So I guess for me, it seems like when you suddenly say, let's prosecute the women, you're really, it has been like the seedbed of the ground of the pro-life movement has been about the gospel, about saving people from sin and death. And it's been a kind of a Christian discussion to me. Suddenly, a person who doesn't believe in God doesn't think that he's in need of forgiveness.
He knows the Bible better than anybody.
Yeah,
knows,
so. Yeah. Oh, my word.
So this is no. Okay. I don't want to talk about Trump.
Want to talk about Trump either. Yeah, yeah. But he can come in and say something that nobody has been saying at all, and suddenly Christians also leap up and dance to his tune and say, "Oh yeah, you're right. Let's prosecute the women." Can I tell you what I immediately thought of? And you didn't. A lot of people talk about prison populations being inordinately of one color, right? Mm-hmm. A predominantly greater number of African-American young men are in prison than any other kind of person, right? And we also know...
Ratio-wise, yes.
Ratio-wise. We also know that Planned Parenthood targets the African-American community.
Yeah.
More black babies die than any other kind of babies in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And the African American community is being eaten alive.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's prosecute the women then, shall we? That's not racist. That's not troubling. Let's add to the prison community African American women. That was my first thought. I know we're not getting political, but I wanted to throw up. I was so angry when I heard this. And then Christians leap up and say, yes. It's murder. No kidding, it's murder. It's the destruction of entire population of the American landscape. I'm really upset. Can you tell?
I can't, but I think probably the problem is the blurring of the questions. I mean, because one question is this murder? And if it's murder, then, you know, if it were ever recognized as such by the government, there would have to be consequences for that murder. And while the woman herself, and I think Al Mohler mentioned this, but the woman herself doesn't do the thing, she pays for it to be done, or someone else pays for it to be done. I've done that, right? So I've paid for that to happen myself personally. So in a just country, there would be legal consequences for doing that kind of thing.
And
right?
So
now that hasn't happened.
Can't
you're right.
Get over and the idea that we are not in a just country.
I know. The doctors, of course, are the ones that would bear the brunt of the penalty, and they should. But right now, we don't have those laws. I see the other question, I think the side of it you're wrestling with is, how do we bring people who have committed this sin to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ? And that's a very important question, and it is the most important question, I would argue. At the same time, I guess from the other side is, all right, well, is that best accomplished by hiding the severity of the sin, by saying to someone, oh, well, it's not your fault, you were a victim, you've been lied to, and so does that bring about repentance more, or does the idea of, look, you not only were you lied to, but you bought into the lie. You did murder your baby. I paid for the murder of your baby. You therefore must repent. Jesus Christ offers you forgiveness. He'll cleanse you of your sin. He died to do that.
I did have, I mean, a part of the reason that I wrote about this week, besides what Trump said, is because a long time ago I read an article by Karen, Karen Pryor's Swallow.
Yep.
And she backed off the use of the word murder when she was counseling young women. She, her article in Christianity Today is really good, really interesting about her, how her life in the pro-life movement has played out. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about myself, if I were in a position where I wanted to really get rid of a pregnancy, a child, And I don't know because I haven't been in that situation. But I came down really thinking that I would want somebody to come to me and say, you're about to commit murder. Because I don't think women, most people, when they wake up in the morning, don't think, you know what I want to do today? I'm going to murder somebody. That sounds fun. Let's do that. Okay, obviously some people do that and they do commit murder. But ordinary people wandering around who enjoy free sex, which is a huge lie. There's no such thing as free sex. Don't couple that with the thought, oh, you know what I'd also like to do? I'd also like to commit murder today. Let's do that. And so a little bit of a reality shock against the lie, I think, would be very useful. I thought for myself, I don't know. I have pleaded with a couple of people not to commit to do this thing, commit murder, to get an abortion. And I was brushed off pretty abruptly. And that I didn't use that word. I just said, I think I said things like, you should give this person that you have a chance to live. And that didn't seem interesting. So I think if you're in a space where you it's the end of the world and the culture says you should have whatever you want, maybe it's unhelpful. Maybe it is helpful to use that particular word murder in relationship to what's going on, since that is, I don't know. I think that's an interesting debate. I was a little ticked off that we stopped talking about that to start talking about the prosecution of murderers. You know, I don't think that's particularly helpful right now in where we are. Two of the candidates on the other side, both candidates, think that this should be something that goes on forever, and all women everywhere should get an abortion because it's the best thing ever.
They wouldn't say that, but they would say they want it to be something that this society embraces as a healthy option.
Well, and the society has embraced it.
Yeah.
And what do you
and
have?
And they want to facilitate it. We have death.
You have death everywhere.
And murder everywhere, right?
And we can't make a good we can't make a good decision. Nobody, culturally, as in a corporate sense, we can't make a good decision about anything because we have blood on our hands.
Right.
So, the wrath of God, which I've said over and over again on the internet, is mounting up and piling up, and we're piling it up for ourselves. You're just letting me talk, and you look bemused, which also irritates me, but the thing that really upsets me is that we've talked all this time about saving the baby, saving the mother, even saving the abortion worker. Abby Johnson's great organization of having compassion and mercy for the person who works in the clinic, that they also would hear the gospel.
Right.
I felt like that this week, all that shut down, and we just talked about prosecuting more people. In a land where we can prosecute people for very minor crimes that aren't murder and they can go to jail forever.
What are you talking about?
Like petty drug stuff. Not talking about justice.
Look, no, I hear the practicality of the conversation right now is not I see your point. I think there is an important principle, though, that came to the fore when the suggestion was made, and one of the, and it exposed, I think, a divide in the pro-life movement. I mean, do people, if we really think this is murder, then the consequences should follow as if it were murder. If we really think, or maybe we just use that language, we don't want abortion to take place, but we haven't really accepted the reality that this is in fact a murder happening, even on the pro-life side, and so
I don't see that at all. Who's saying that it's not murder?
Well, that's the incomprehension, I think, from those who are saying if we had the laws changed, we would have to have the consequences follow. The incomprehension in hearing people from what your perspective are saying is, okay, if a woman kills her child who's born, nobody would say we shouldn't do something about that, that there shouldn't be consequences. No one on the no one who has a Bible and reads it.
Right.
But there are vast numbers of people on the pro-life side who say it's that those who take their who pay for someone else to kill their baby in their womb. Yeah, let's not even talk about that. It's no big deal. There just seems to be a logical disconnect there.
I guess I'm not saying that it's no big deal, and let's not talk. I'm amazed that we're talking about it so suddenly when somebody who doesn't know what's going on, you know,
right, but that's the political, I mean, yeah, okay. Politically, it's maybe inconvenient to talk about it right now. I get
it.
Jumped
to his dance. And the problems and the issues are so huge, so legion. It seems like the seriousness of the conversation, too, about, what would have to happen in order for America to think that we should have this be illegal? A huge change of hearts and minds would have to occur.
Yeah, I agree.
And a proper justice system where things that were really evil and wrong would actually send somebody to jail rather than, you know, some of the things that send people to jail now. There would have to be so many things that changed about the way people thought and acted. It's hard for me to understand or conceive of how that would happen without an act of God.
Right. I agree with that. Sometimes hypothetical questions are important to argue because they help nail down a principle. And this is why you have to have theologians arguing about things that to regular, sometimes Christians who have not been involved in the conversation seem to be, you know, how many angels dance in the point of a pin. But it's the arguments are important because they help nail down with clarity the principle that's being articulated. And that's kind of what I think was going on here. And so it has to be argued. It's not something we just say, let's not even talk about that.
I agree that these things need to be argued, absolutely. I don't know if they have to be argued the way they've been argued this week.
I don't like to dance to any politician's tune. I agree with the inconvenience of the conversation at this point. It shouldn't be that it's evoked by or provoked by a politician. It should be something that, you know, maybe has been happening.
Also, I would at some point like to talk about feminism. I'm not a feminist. I think feminism as a movement has done a lot of very unhelpful things, including bringing about abortion and continuing to lie to women. Yeah. I think that the optics for me of a lot of men on YouTube saying, yeah, it's murder. Murder. Let's talk about this now. I think is really interesting and potentially troubling to people who can't hear that at all. I mean, I'm not asking for pansy, wispy, non-men to, you know, bow before the cult of woman anymore. But the optics of a bunch of pastors on YouTube saying, yeah, it's murder. You murderers.
Just a minute. Because the men who I think you're talking about are men who actually stood outside these abortion clinics and have counseled women and have done their best to get them to not murder their children. These are not men who don't have any involvement in it.
Right.
These are men who've given them their time and their you know, risked
that's right.
A lot to
defend
be there.
The men. Huh? That's what men do. Well, they defend. I'm kidding. I know everybody has skin in the game. Everybody cares. It's not, I don't think that it's unworthy to have this conversation. I'm surprised that we're having it right now, as I've said over and over. Have we gone over our time? So you can see
we have 5 minutes left.
That we agree fundamentally that abortion is murder. But this happens to us a lot in our marriage where we really disagree about how to talk about things. This is actually how we met, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you thought it would be great to tell people about hell when you're trying to get them to become Christian.
Yes.
And I was kind of...
I think it's important.
I felt like it
to
was a little bit unhelpful. I didn't really want... I heard a lot about hell growing up and...
Yeah, but the problem
and look at
is
me.
You didn't
I'm
hear
an
the
amazing,
gospel either, or you heard the gospel,
did
but it was
you hear the gospel?
But it was kind of a moralism. That was
moral. Yeah,
it was. It wasn't Jesus Christ fulfilled the law on your behalf and bore the penalty of your sins, and he has endured hell on the cross for you, and repent and receive
no,
his
I
work.
Heard that.
It was, but it was also you better be good, and if you're not good, you're probably going to hell. That's what you. That's at least how you've explained it to me.
Well, portions of that. But
yeah.
I,
so,
I mean,
now we're way off
right,
base.
We're off,
but,
well, but I mean, that comes into this. When we, that's another conversation that needs to be had. How do we do evangelism? We need to be out in the world doing evangelism because people
well,
are perishing.
Well, I would say that classically, if you look at from the New Testament on, this does play into this question, the last thing that you do is hide the consequences of sin. And you don't want to tell someone, well, Jesus is going to make your life better, so just come to Jesus. Because then they come to Jesus for a better life. They don't come to Jesus for Jesus. Instead, you say something, the person has to, there's no true conversion unless there's a conviction from the Holy Spirit of sin. That's what God gave the Holy Spirit for, to convict the world of sin. We're told that
right.
In John
and, I mean, the
15,
person who's walking into an abortion clinic is walking... potentially walking over a precipice
right.
into
so
utter devastation
that, right?
and ruin. So
okay.
there's, I mean, you. I'm
so
not,
you say that,
I'm
right?
I'm not arguing
okay.
that point, really. I'm just...
So you need to say that.
Well, you wouldn't want to say.
Not just...
You're about to do something
Let me give you a
terrible,
better option.
Right. Please don't do this. Right, please right. don't ruin your life forever and the life of another person. Somebody died so you don't have to.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because you're about to perish forever.
Right.
I just... No, it's a tough conversation. Look, we're such good Christians. We're having this conversation so other people don't have to.
That was sarcastic, unless you didn't catch that. So, now we have 2 minutes. So we should... And we also have a dog who's...
Dog is freaking out. And
freaking
now
out,
there's
yeah.
the knock. So
and now there's a knock.
I think that this is the end of
Hold
our...
on just a minute.
Podcast this week, and we hope that you enjoy it and that you will engage in this important national discussion also, but kindly. Let's all just be a little bit more kind talking to you. Thank you.